Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know how to answer that entirely, other than to say that, when I land there, I feel like I'm at home.
So, look, hello, what's the crack? Welcome to this experimental episode, I guess. I think the kind of the idea for this is the first of maybe a series of experiments that we're going to try out. Just to switch it up a little bit and try some different formats out on the show, have a go at a few new styles. And the kind of heart behind this is that we put out quite a lot of episodes. You know, it's only a weekly show, and then sometimes we have mini series as well. And not everyone gets the chance to listen to them. I know for me, even as the guy who's producing them and making them, it can be very easy to kind of forget, like, oh, like what happened this quarter, or like who did I interview, like, you know, like a few months ago. And I think in general, like, to go a bit philosophical on us all for a second, I think in this age of kind of content overload, we're very quick to listen to something or read something or watch something, and then that's it. It's done. It's like out of the short-term memory. It's disappeared into the ether of our minds. And you kind of lose that art of reflection a little bit. You lose that art of maybe coming back to something time and time again. Like, I'm here in the bath this morning, finally back, and I'm looking out at some of the paintings that Brian John Spencer has done. You know, these are paintings that you see every single day, and you get something different from it every single time. So not to compare podcasts with artwork, but I just would even personally love the chance to reflect a little bit on some of the stories and some of the incredible things that we've kind of heard over the last few months. And I thought, what better way to do that than to hop on with the Best of Belfast listener to swap notes and even just swap some stories about our favourite episodes. So we're joined today by the wonderful Rob Cantill, all the way from Australia. All the way. And Rob is a digital technologies education lecturer and researcher from Brisbane. Rob, I'm going to say, like, you're probably one of the first people that I connected with about the podcast, you know? And we've such a strange and wonderful story. And I guess, like, to kind of contextualize this whole conversation before we move forward, I just wanted to get on the record. Like, how does a guy from Australia get hooked on a Northern Irish podcast, and why do you stick around? Like, it's such a mystery, because you're one of the most supportive, most encouraging people whenever it comes to the podcast, and I would just love the chance to kind of hear some of that origin story.
Well, I guess, look, I think the first thing was that, one of our family decided to write a book about, you know, our origins and all that sort of thing. And we always knew that that Northern Ireland was, you know, where we were all from and so forth. But anyway, I read the book and I just become fascinated with, you know, where the family came from. And in our first trip to Ireland, I got a chance to, you know, get around Belfast and so forth, and I just fell in love with the place, like, straight away. Like, you know, the people and the architecture and just, you know, and the crack, you know. And anyway, so yeah, the last trip, which was when you and I actually met in person couple of Christmases ago. Can you believe that? That was like not last Christmas, the Christmas
dude, it's
before.
Crazy. I feel like not to beat the COVID drum again, but like I feel like there's just like a year gap in my memory that I just, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, I met Rob last year.
Yeah, I know, right? And it does feel like it was just last year. It just feels like it was just not that long ago. But anyway, I wanted to really, really spend some time there, and you know, we went out to County Fermanagh, and you know, we checked out the little village where they were from, and you know, we went searching for the grave of the last living Northern Irish relative. Did all of that, and which was quite an extensive process. I went through all of the records place in in Belfast. I think you actually put me on to how to.
Did you go to Prony in there near the Titanic building?
Yeah,
oh my word, mate, you were committed.
I've got a special card. I've got a card that's got my picture on it and everything for there. Yeah, I know, right?
You know, most Northern Irish people have never been in that building. Like,
yeah, this is all part of the citizenship.
Typical,
thing,
but yeah. Yeah, that's right. We often joke with Rob in the Producers Club WhatsApp group that we're going to give him like honorary Northern Irish citizenship because he's more committed than we are sometimes.
Mate, I even follow the Ulster Rugby Club, for God's sake.
Word. Everyone's walking around in Australia t-shirts and you're like, yeah, check out this Ulster jersey. Everyone's like, what?
I'm wearing an Ulster jersey. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got one. I got the number 2 on the back, of course. But so anyway, We couldn't find the grave. What we didn't realize is that we actually walked straight past it. And we actually went into the church where we thought it was and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story. But yeah, just, I think the other thing too, Matt, and you and I sort of talked extensively about this when I was over there. I think it's what's happening in the place. Like it's got the history. It's got the, you know, I just love the scenery of the place and, you know, all that sort of stuff and the people and so forth. But it's got so much happening now, you know, like it's, you know, as a tech person, I love things that, you know, are entrepreneurial and people that are getting off their backsides and doing something. And that's what I'm seeing there. And that's what I love about the place so much, I think. You know, all of the family history and all the other stuff aside, that's what I really love about it. And I guess that's how I got involved in the podcast because I came across it and it was purely accidental coming across it. And I've just gone, man, you know, this guy's tapping into what I'm really interested in, you know, and it just keeps going. It just keeps going. And that's why I stay with it. Like, you know, every week we've got somebody really cool and interesting that we're listening to or, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah, that's the story of me, you know. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Cool. But, I guess like one quick follow-up then on that is like, what does your Northern Irish heritage do for you, if that makes sense? Like, how does it kind of like add like layer to your life or add value to your life? I know that's incredible business language there, but I think you know what I'm saying.
I do. I don't know how to answer that entirely other than to say that, you know, when I land there, I feel like I'm at home, right? And it just makes a lot of things make sense. You know, like even when it comes down to like a lot of the personality in a lot of my family, I just sort of go, you know, yeah, that's what I'm seeing when I'm there. So I guess that's the layer.
Interesting.
You know, we were talking before we started about, you know, Australians and so forth and about that so many of us, our heritage comes from, you know, UK and Ireland. And I guess that's why our humour is so similar and, you know, just a lot of the things that we're into, you know, like we love sports so much, right? You know, and, you know, when I go there, I just go, oh, my God, you know, I thought we love sport, but you guys are just – you guys are amazing, you know. And the sports, I just go, oh, my God, there's sports I've never heard of before, but, sure, geez, yeah, they're cool. Yeah, right, yeah. And even, like, our Australian football is really just a – it's just an adaptation of Gaelic football for, you know, that type of thing. So it's very interesting, yeah. So I guess that it – going back to your original question, I think it just makes sense to me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Awesome. Dude, I love that. Like, because, you know, I think a lot of people who've been listening, like, for a while, they will have heard your voice, you know, doing the intros and outros to some of the shows.
Right.
And there probably is that sort of, like, that moment. Like, I love whenever, like, I hear your voice on one of the episodes because I'm like, people must be like, what the heck is this? Is this Australian doing here?
Look, I've practiced the Northern Irish accent so much, but I just think I said the word to you last night. I would sound like a Wally.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But I do every now and again will say some things that my wife will go, "What are you, Irish now or something?" You know.
So awesome. So look, yeah. I mean, this is really your show. This is really led by you. So I mean, let's kick off. What's the first episode you want to talk about?
Oh man, I think for me, I really love, and I guess it's the uni lecturer in me, but I really love the Tim Brundle episode and also Philip Hamill. You know, just listening to, you know, their stories as far as, you know, within universities and, you know, doctorates and all that sort of stuff, but also just making it happen, you know what I mean? Like I look at Tim Brundle, it's not just about another guy who is a lecturer or a researcher or whatever type of thing. It's a guy that is really making it happen and is – I think of the word disruption when I think of these guys, you know, they're, and I guess that word we could use for probably about 95% of everybody that you've interviewed, right? let's go 100%, you know, like, but certainly, I really enjoy, listening to those guys and they really inspire me as far as, the journey that I'm on now. So like, you know, it was only a couple of years ago where I was a teacher or I was leading IT departments and things like that in schools and decided to become an academic. And, you know, it's actually a really big move. If anybody, you know, I know there's some people in that are listening that have done that themselves. And it is actually a really big move and it's a totally different culture. And, sometimes it can, those wheels can turn really slowly. And, you know, for people like myself who just want to make stuff happen all the time, it doesn't always work that way. And I listen to these guys and I go, you know what? Yeah, it does. It does if you want it to. And if you want to keep at it and if you want to be the bulldog, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you have to be aggressive. And that's what these guys were coming across to me is that, you know, you can be in that environment, you can work in that environment, you can make things happen in that environment, but still, you know, do it in a nice, dignified way type of thing.
So, yeah, and I mean, like, the interesting thing about both those guys is, like, a trait that they share is that they're both kind of like gentle giants.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
You see them around, you're like, dude, you guys could, like, play rugby. I'm pretty sure Philip did play rugby. And you're right. But they're like the softest, like sweetest, which is a strange word to use, but they use like their strength in like a very, very different sort of way. And I find that interesting as well.
Look, I really, really, can I tell you one of the episodes that I use something from? It's only a small little part,
but
something from it in nearly every course that I teach and so forth.
Oh wow,
it's really interesting.
I'd love to hear that.
And I can't pronounce his last name very well, but Dr. Mano.
Yes, I couldn't remember. I need to pull it up, but yeah. Mano Shigoramana. Mano.
Sorry, Mano. But yeah, he used the phrase cognitive bandwidth. And I listened to that. Can I tell you, I listened to that episode a couple of times because I really love that. And he was talking about, if you remember, he was talking about that when he's operating on somebody's brain, you know, he can't be worried about whether the people around him, he's got to have full trust in the fact that the people around him are doing their job as well and that they're, you know, they're all part of a team and so forth. But, you know, and I take it further than when I'm talking about, like, you know, when I'm doing things, I can't be thinking about, you know, what's going on here and what's going on there? What was it that my wife said that I had to pick up on the way home? You know, I just imagine being a brain surgeon and sitting there going, did she say that she wanted bread or was it milk? Yeah, I can't remember.
Absolutely. You know,
anyway, but yeah, just that whole concept of, that you just can't have everything happening in your brain at once. And I, if I combine that with, and you're all going to love this, the deep workbook, right? Oh, man, how good is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I combine those two things, you know, that I just think, you know, I just have to worry about one thing at a time.
Mm.
And suddenly, when I come back to those other things, it's not such a big deal, you know. And so, yeah, I really love that episode. And he is, again, his story is amazing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, disruptive, right?
Absolutely. I'm thinking in real time here. I think as we go, we should maybe like give like a very loose sort of background and context for who some of these people are.
So, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So Dr. Mano, like for the people who haven't listened to that episode, he's a neurosurgeon, and he is also, whenever we talked to him, was kind of in the middle of this very big new adventure in his life where he had lost like a ton of weight and was really kind of re-transforming himself. He had got really into like running and extreme sports, and he actually ended up doing a stint on the Bear Grylls Treasure Island.
Is that
right? Yeah, he was part of that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Part of that TV series. Yeah, yeah, and like, just this really, really interesting guy. But he brought a lot of, as Rob was saying there, like the cognitive side and a lot of his work. And he was able to apply that to different areas of life, particularly when it comes to like talking about resilience and how we as people can like move on and experience adversity and kind of push through that. And I just found him to be like, I remember him sitting in front of me and he was just a very, very fascinating guy. Like there's something about like the way people communicate fascinates me. And he was sitting there and you could have just said, this guy's a philosopher. Like he's not a neurosurgeon. Like he was so thoughtful and so intentional about the words that he used and the way that he communicated them. And it's just one of those episodes that I'm like, yeah, like, really, really fascinating guy. Talk to me about a little bit more about that idea of cognitive bandwidth. So like, how do you use that in your courses? Or like, is that like a little like meme that you are able to like share with your students where like, look, this is a good concept for you to kind of like have in your mind at various points?
Yeah, look, I share it with, because you remember that my students are future teachers. Okay, so these are people who, and most of my students that in the courses that I teach are right at the end of their degrees. So it has a lot of stresses and stuff. So I talk to them about this whole concept of cognitive bandwidth in that you just can't take it all on. You can't wear everybody else's stresses and things like that as well, because you can only handle so much. But also, you can only, I love the idea that you can only be thinking about so many things at once, and you can only be dealing with so many things at once. And if you're, you know, if you're dealing with high pressure situations and so forth, you can't be dealing with six high pressure situations at once. You've just got to deal with one at a time. And I think that if I understood that a little bit more when I personally was a teacher, I think I could have definitely taken that into my own teaching profession, my teaching practice and so forth. So you're always learning, of course. So I guess that's what I got out of it anyway. That's cool. That's the big one. Yeah.
And for me, like that's what I love about doing these podcasts and listening to loads of other podcasts is very rarely is it this whole person's life story is so relevant to me and I'm able to like use it now and now my life is forever changed. It usually like out of every single episode, there's usually that one wee tiny golden nugget that you're like, oh yeah, that bit was just for
me.
Like not for anyone else in the world. Like they just said that like exclusively for me in my current life
That's
situation.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my word, I feel so special.
You just dialed in for me. Yeah, perfect. But I think one of the things that you'd find, Matthew, is that people who listen to this podcast, like you and I, are really into people who do some really cool things. And I would suggest that the people who are listening to the podcast are also doing their really cool things as well.
That's so true, yeah.
And that's why they would pick up and dial into those individual things, you know. So I guess that's why we see that.
Yeah, it's almost like a little bit of like a confirmation bias. It's like, okay, who listens to podcasts? Like, it's a certain type of person that listens to podcasts, and so they're going to be naturally more interested and biased towards like the types of people that we're interviewing. So it's a little bit like an echo chamber in that sense, where it's like you have like people like us do things like this, and so I think that's why. The show is not a massive show, you know, like it's beyond niche, because, you know, Northern Ireland is a very small locality. And so, and then if you take like, you know, population, let's just for simplification say that it's 2 million people, like how many people out of that 2 million listen to podcasts, you know, are down to like a very short number. Then you have to say, okay, well, not every single person who listens to podcasts is going to want to listen to my podcast. So you have, you know, it's a niche upon a niche upon a niche. And I think the beauty of that is that it's found a community of people who love Northern Ireland and who are doing interesting things themselves and who want to learn from other people who are also doing interesting things, to basically swap notes and steal ideas and see who else is going on in that community and can we work together.
Absolutely.
And is there ways we can collaborate, or is there things I can adapt that person's doing, or you know, it's really fascinating.
And I think for me, you know, we go back to right at the very beginning, and, you know, you talk about why am I connecting with Northern Ireland and why am I connecting with this show and so forth. And I think like Australians, even though, you know, obviously there's more of us, but we're a really big country compared Northern Ireland. But one of the things I think is that Australians, like you guys, we love an underdog. And we punch above our weight.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I think, that's where I really connect, is that I love people who punch above their weight. I'm not talking about arrogance and things like that.
Sure.
But it's just punching above your weight, just doing the unexpected. And that's not even, you know, and again, that's not turning around and, you know, poking your tongue at somebody and saying, hey, look at me, look what I can do. It's just, you know, I've got no excuses. I've tried everything. You know, I'm having a real go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Awesome. Who's next?
Can I tell you? Absolutely. Look, just as a bias, because I love their music, I reckon Johnny Quinn and Gary Lightbody. Right? So, yeah. Look, can I tell you? You could just go. I've had Johnny Quinn and Gary Lightbody on my podcast, and you just go tick. And the fact that, you know, it's, again, see, it's not just about entrepreneurial stuff; it's about talent and the stuff as well. You know, these guys, you know, they make great music, obviously, but they just sounded like such great guys.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I guess there wasn't, you know, I can't sort of say one particular thing about either of those two podcasts, except for I just really enjoyed listening to them. And I guess, again, people who have got that talent and who have made it, but are still humble, you know what I mean? And that, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate that here, and I can see that you guys really appreciate that sort of thing there too.
Absolutely. So
you know, we don't like people who take themselves too serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Calm down.
And I think, like, you know, the Johnny Quinn episode is a constant source of scundering for me. Because I think I shared in that episode, like, I was meeting with my accountants about my self-assessment, my tax return. And I had Johnny, like, booked in for the same time the next day. So I was literally in the meeting, in the middle of, like, you know, a meeting about finance. And my head was very much locked into, okay, how do I make sure I don't break the law? And, you know, like, trying to figure it all out. Like, you know, the finance side of business is, I'm glad that there's accountants in the world to help us.
Absolutely.
And then next thing you know, like, you know, one of the Omar Bass team just, like, presented this guy in front of the glass window of the studio. And I was like, who's this guy? And they just pointed at him and smiled and, like, waved, like, there you go. Like, you know, like, here's your next meeting. And I was like, I don't have a next meeting. And then, like, I looked at the guy and he looked at me and I was like, oh my word, that's the drummer of Snow Patrol.
It is. I know, right?
And then, so, you know, had to like, basically like, accountants, I'm so sorry, but like, you gotta go. Like, and I had to like usher them out. And then there was this really kind of like weird, awkward like introduction between Johnny Quinn and my accountants. I'm like, hi, Martin. This is Johnny, the drummer of Snow Patrol. And Martin's like, what? And they're like, okay, Martin, bye. See you. Let's go. And then, you know, Johnny comes, sits down, and I'm like, I have no notes. I have no preparation in front of me. And it's one of those moments where I was like, because, you know, Johnny's such a big name. Snow Patrol's such a big name. It's a real significant moment for the show and for kind of like the podcast history. And you're like, oh no, like I'm going to mess this up. I'm totally going to mess this up. And then just had to rely on, I guess, like the experience of doing, I think it was maybe 80 interviews at that point. And I just, I stalled for time. And I took him for coffee, literally just to try to get my head straight. It's like, right, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk? And I just told myself, I was like, look, you started this podcast just to have conversations with people. Just go in and have a conversation. And so we went in, we freestyled the whole thing, and it was so awesome. And it worked.
Yeah, and it certainly did.
That little kind of forcing function, that little moment, it taught me a lot about the show. And it actually has been a real source of it's been a real good lesson for me of maybe the moments in every interview that happens where you're like, I do not know where to go next. I just like, mate, just Johnny Quinn it. Like just have a conversation with a human being like you want to, you know? And it's so fun.
It's funny how we get so much out of those just random conversations and things, isn't it? Like that just, you don't know where it's gonna go, but hey, just let it go. Like I remember even when we were over there with you and you know, my wife, I was going, come on, I'm going to introduce you to Matt and we're going to go and, you know, have a chat. And she's sort of like, okay,
Rob, why do we have to go there? This is your podcast thing, not mine.
But if you remember, like as soon as we walked through the door and she's checking out all my parts and, you know, we got in there and we're having a chat and so she was having the time of her life, you know, and it was such a great conversation. I think that's why it feels like just yesterday because I think those kinds of conversations and, you know, even if we just talk about, you know, even your later podcasts, even just the one just recently, you know, where it was just a conversation and so forth. And I think they really work.
Mm.
They really do work because things just come out. And it's like, I know if I'm sitting there just having a chat with somebody at the university or some of our students and we're just chatting about certain things and so forth and you think, wow, that was just amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. I didn't even plan a thing of that. And it just came out amazing. I think I sounded amazing, but anyway.
So good. Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes we can it's good to prep and it's good to plan, but then if you're not careful, that can almost be like a bit of an obstacle or a stumbling block.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think, if you go into a meeting or a podcast with like, these are the questions I must ask. And that's my first 20, you know, I was like very bound to my list in the order that I had them in. It's clunky, you know, and when you open a bottle of wine, like you got to let it breathe a little bit. I kind of feel like conversations are like that as well. Like you can't have it too tight. Otherwise it kind of just stagnates or something.
Mate, we can't go without talking about Willie Jack, can we?
Oh, mate. Willie Jack. I was out for a run yesterday. It was my first run back in Belfast.
Yeah.
And I ran through the Cathedral Quarter and I just saw all the new stuff that Willie had done. And I just went, Willie, fair play to you. And he's brought out this new beer. And like I was drinking I had a pint of water this morning from this new glass that he's going to put in all of his pubs. And I was like, I was just like Willie Jack, like he's just done it again. And then like the next week you're like, Willie Jack, he's done it again. And then the next week you're like, Willie Jack, he's done it again.
Do you know what I reckon? I don't think that there would be, you know, we wouldn't go, you remember we're on the other side of the world and, you know, we've got our own thing going on and all that sort of stuff. But I reckon we wouldn't go more than a week or two when we're not talking about the Cathedral Quarter.
Mm.
You know, what an area. Like you could take, if you got somebody to land in Belfast and you just pop them in the car and you go, yeah, don't worry about the black cab tours and all that sort of stuff. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and we did that, of course, you know, but don't worry about that stuff. come and have a beer at the Cathedral Quarter, or come for a wander around the cathedral. You know, all the art and all of the, oh my God, I think we took hundreds of photos of just paintings on walls and stuff like that, you know, but just the feel and so forth in that cathedral. And like, he took a real gamble doing that, right?
Oh, dude, he did massive pond.
Massive gamble, but it works so well. And and it's now the, well, let's arguably say it's now probably one of the faces, at least, of Belfast.
Totally. And like, the thing about Willie is, as well, is, you know, like, the Duke was bombed, I think, during the Troubles.
Right.
And he was up against all sorts of stuff. So, you know, you just have this incredibly resilient man. You know, for that, those of you who don't know, like, Willie Jackie's a publican, I guess, first and foremost.
Yeah.
He's a businessman, and he owns the Duke of York. He owns the Dark Horse. He owns lots and lots of places in the Cathedral Quarter. You know, the umbrellas, that's Willie Jack. The lights on Commercial Court, you know, the most Instagrammed place in Northern Ireland, that's Willie Jack.
Yeah.
And he's just turned, I used to work for a non-profit in New York, and we had this program called Adopt a Block, because obviously New York City, you have the block system where it's, you know, 23rd Street, 5th Avenue, all that sort of stuff. And the idea of Adopt a Block was, instead of trying to, you know, serve a whole city and change a whole city, we're going to adopt one little block just going to focus on that. And that's exactly what Willie's done in Belfast. And he's done it with business, and he's done it with commercial, and he's done it, you know, with pubs and, you know, hospitality. But he's completely changed that little block. And I swear, like, every time you go down it, there's something new on it. There's something improved. And it's just turning into, like, it's pretty much going to be the world's first, like, fully functional outdoor museum in the world, because there's so many artifacts that he's collected from Belfast history, and he doesn't put them behind a lock and cage. He just puts them out there for the people to see and enjoy, and it's amazing.
And can I tell you, I think it's infectious, because I don't think it's just like, do you think that it's spreading, like, you know, it's like other people have, like, jumped onto the Willie Jack you know, onto the Willie Jack bandwagon, and they're following that as well. And, like, you know, just when you just also look at all of the artwork and so forth around the place, you know, you walk into the Doc Martin store in Belfast,
true.
And there's paintings all over
walls. That's
and
right.
stuff like,
yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? It's a new signature. It's trendy and all that sort of thing too, but it's also really welcoming. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you feel at home, and you know, and there's just, and then you walk beyond the Cathedral Quarter, and you can see it sort of like happening in other parts as well.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
So I think that's really cool. Yeah,
and I think to Willie's credit as well, is I think one of the things he does very well is he empowers other people and gives a lot of other people opportunities. And so that resilience that we talked about, like, during the Troubles, of, you know, him starting stuff and keeping stuff up when most people didn't want to do anything because of the fear and because of the threat and everything.
Sure.
That's actually been replicated during COVID time. And it's
Absolutely.
Interesting to see, like,
the
same kind of lessons and like gumption and balls that I guess Willie developed, like, running businesses during the Troubles, has served him very well during COVID. Because while a lot of people, rightly so, you know, freaked out, Willie was just like, okay, well, like, what can we do? You know, where's the opportunity?
Yeah,
and so
right.
even already, like, I'll have to send you a picture. He's taken a new business on called The Toast Office. And they sell amazing, like, cheese toasties, like, really super popular. And he's just given them a home in one of his pubs. And so it's like, there's a premise for you. This pub probably won't be open for a while. And now you're part of this little block as well. So he's given, you know, and he's done that with street artists, he's done that with musicians, he's done that with the guy who's doing his beer. You know, he's kind of used his platform to give other people a shot as well, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and I guess that's part of that whole that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing in Belfast, Northern Ireland, aren't we? You know, like this whole, you know, resilience and so forth. You know what I love too is that And I think this is what I love about the podcast so much too, is we don't talk about the troubles.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we know it's there. It's happened, and we know there's stuff that's still happening. And, you know, we don't get a lot of Northern Ireland news, obviously, but I've seen things recently and all that sort of stuff. But it's just like, yeah, ignore that. Let's get on with the really cool stuff that's happening, you know? I will say, and I don't know how much time we've got left, but I will say I was most honoured. I read a couple of things about Claire McLaughlin and the fact that she's a rugby player and also a doctor doing stuff and so forth. And I think the fact what that story did for me was is that you know, a lot of times we hear negative things about football, rugby, and, you know, hooliganism and all those sorts of things. And people like that, and other people who play rugby and football and so forth, who show a real intelligence and really give credibility to sport, and, you know, show that you don't have to be, you know, a meathead, if you like. you can be really intelligent and play rugby, or really intelligent and be a boxer, or really intelligent and, you know, do all that sort of thing. So I was really honored though when, you know, I suggested that one in the producers club, in the WhatsApp, and you were able to get hold of her and get that happening. And I thought that was really cool. Like, you know, that was it. That was the only connection I had, that I'd read a couple of stories about it, you know?
Yeah. And like, literally, like, if it wasn't for you, like, I would never have even considered that story because I didn't know about it. That's the crazy thing. Like, I think, and to kind of mirror like a recent episode with Anna McKeever, she is a full-time doctor that is also an artist and paints these amazing paintings. But those stories are similar, not because of the obvious reasons, but also because someone literally sent me an email. A couple of people said, hey, you should get Anna McKeever on the show. And I was like, who? Do you know what I mean? And like, I'm here, like, I consider myself relatively to have my finger on the pulse because of what I do and because I'm always looking for stories. But most of the time, like, people will recommend people that I've never heard of. And that's why, yeah, of course, like, do we love to get Johnny Quinn and Gary Lightbody on the show?
Course,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're trying to get Kenneth Branagh at the minute. That's the big one. Well. That's the big one that's kind of on the hit list at the minute. Like, you know, those are great. They're great for the podcast because they bring a lot of new listeners onto it. It's kind of the gateway drug are some of those bigger names. But for me personally, like, it's the opportunity to explore stories that I would never come across myself, because that enriches my experience of living here, you know? And even now, when, like, on my run yesterday, like, now, like, whenever I run through Belfast or walk through Belfast or drive through Belfast or cycle through Belfast, now, in comparison to 3 years ago, I've completely different experience, because my whole story map and mind is completely wired differently. Because if I go through the Cathedral Quarter, I'm like, oh yeah, Willie Jack, and I think about this bit about Willie's story, or I see that new business, and I all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that's Rachel's place, and look at that, like, I know Rachel's backstory, I know why she started that coffee shop, like, da 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 da, and it just adds such a richness to my experience of the city, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And again, you think of how many podcasts you've been able to do so far, and the amazing people in every single one of those, and sometimes more than one person. And then you said before, you know, 2 million people. I mean, when you put that into context, you know, and so, like, you know, some of these people, and look, a couple of other people I was thinking of, like, I think I blew you away when you were talking about having John Elliott on, and I went, oh, Clement's Coffee, and you're like, what?
Yeah, I could not believe that.
And I'm just like, man, I read about him years ago. You know?
You're like, you think you're cutting edge, punk? It's like, I already know. Like, you should, like, don't forget, son, I'm your producer. If you need guests, you come to me, Mr. Cantle.
That's it. You know, I think a couple of others, like, you know, Bernadette Collins, you know, because of the Formula One, I'm a motor racing freak. And I was just like, dude, you get Bernadette Collins on? I was like, man, you've got like behind the scenes of Formula One. It's just like, come on. What have you got that I haven't got? A podcast,
man,
obviously.
I'm telling you, best of Brisbane, and you're, the doors will be blast open wide. You can talk to anyone you want.
I could, yeah. We'll all be on the beach, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. You know, after your 4-hour work day, that's what Australia's
that's
like.
That's it, yeah. Know. 4 hours. That's it. I mean, God, that's a long day, 4 hours.
That's a week's work if you're Tim Ferriss.
I know, right? Yeah. You know, like, and I think, yeah, those sorts of stories, like, I think the things that I look at that and go, look at all these people doing all of this stuff, and with just a small population, and you know, like if we could just like instantly boom the size of, you know, Northern Ireland, and imagine the stuff that would be happening, you know. But yeah, I guess that's going way back to the very beginning when you asked me about, you know, why do I connect with the podcast and why my connection with Northern Ireland. And yes, there is that sort of little bit of family background and all that sort of stuff. But this is what it's all about. This is stuff that's happening, people that are happening. And so many amazing stories to listen to. And it's just like, who's he got next? You know, we get obviously a sneak preview in the Producers Club on the WhatsApp, but it's great. Like, you know, and we sit there talking about different people and so forth. And then suddenly they come to life, you know, that and we're listening to them and stuff. Yeah. So that's really cool too. It's a really good, nice, little inside to be part of, you know.
Well, let me ask you this as well then. So
yeah,
as like a listener of the show and a long time listener of the show, how do you, and like be brutally honest here, like do you like the different styles of stuff that we put out sometimes, or are you like hardcore, I like the long form conversation, unfiltered?
Yeah.
What? How do you, you know, how do you like, for example, like we just did 30 minute episodes. Like, is that too short for you? We did the documentaries. Are you like, nah, this is a wee bit too like highly produced for me? Like, how do you feel about that sort of stuff?
Look, I love every one of those things for different reasons. I thought that the, you know, the series were really cool. Like they were so well put together. And the history and the stories behind that, you know, that we were listening to are fantastic. The little 30-minute ones are great as well. And then just the conversational ones. So I think personally I love all of the formats and I love the mix of them as well. It's like, you know, okay, at the moment we're working on the series, or at the moment we've got the, you know, we've got a conversation happening, or, you know, or here's a quick short one and stuff like that. I mean, I just love all the formats. I really do. I think it's great because it's even the squeaky clean, highly produced ones and all that sort of stuff have still got the best of Belfast elements in there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's still got the core of the podcast in there as well. So, and you can still, even some of the questions that you're asking and so forth, you can go, yeah, that's a Best of Belfast type of question. You know what I mean? Like,
that's so funny.
I can't remember which one it was. It was one of those series or whatever, and you were talking about landing the plane or something or other.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like,
he
you're
slipped
like,
it in there.
Best of Belfast
it
bingo. It's like, oh, he said either landing the plane or switching gears. Take a shot.
I love it. Yeah, no, so yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I just love all of the formats. It's and that's because it's different stories, isn't it? You know, it's stories. That's what it is, and it's it doesn't matter what format it's in. It's just stories that we're listening to people telling their thing, and you know.
Yeah.
Whether it be somebody that's got a startup, or whether it's you know, somebody that's late in their career, or we're talking about, you know, people that are no longer with us, but it's the history of what they were doing and so forth. It's still really interesting, and that's, you know, and all the time that it's really interesting, that's all that really matters, I think. Yeah.
I think the show's ruined me in lots of ways, but I feel like I can't like meet someone new or like have a conversation with them without feeling like compulsively urged to ask them what their first memory is. It's like you're at a party. It's like, don't do it, Matt. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And it's like, hi, I'm Matthew Thompson. What's your name? Do you have a first memory? Ah, crap.
You never know. Like, I mean, down the track that you'll go to a party and you'll go, hi, I'm Matthew Thompson. And they'll go, oh, can we do a podcast together? Yeah, I've got this story.
They pull out like a little, either a little portable microphone, or even worse, they pull out like a product. They're like, so we have this thing we're trying to push. You're like, oh boy.
Yeah. Push it to that guy over there.
Where are we in your list? Are we at the end?
I think so. I mean, you know, like I really enjoyed The Priests, obviously. That was...
throwback.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about them for a while.
Yeah, they were just really interesting. And the fact that, I mean, you know, whether you're highly religious or not highly religious or whatever it is, but the fact that they're doing their music and they still do their core job, you know, like what I mean? Like, I just, you know, they've put out these records and all that sort of stuff, but you know, you can still go and see them at church on Sunday. Yeah. And, you know,
that's right. I think it was Father Martin. He said something hilarious in that episode where he was like, you know, you're on stage performing in front of a million people, you know, performing in front of the Pope. You're the fastest selling classical album act of all time. You know, you're touring with the boy band, as he joked. And then on Sunday you go in and like Sandra's like, Father, there's no toilet paper left in the toilet. And he's like, okay, no problem, I'll get it for you now. You're like,
I'll go get it for you. Yeah.
What a context switch, you know?
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But super wholesome. That's a wee episode that like I think that's a real pick me up episode because there's something so wholesome about them. Like even actually, because that was one that we did live, and unfortunately you weren't in the country at the time.
I wasn't, no.
But there was the type of guys that they change the atmosphere in the room, you know. There's such a gentleness to them and such an intentionality to them that I think is very, very, very rare. And so I have a lot of time for them. And that was, you know, how we met was a funny story as well. We were literally doing the TEDx at Queen's University, and they were on the slot before me, and so we had this little tiny like 2 minute window before I went on stage and before they came off, where I was like, here, are you the priest? They're like, yes, we're the priest. It's like, here, I really like, I love what you guys are doing. Do you want to come on the podcast? They're like, we've never been on a podcast before. That sounds great. I was like casually trying to exchange numbers as we're walking past, and it all worked out, you know. It's funny.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just think it's really interesting how people can do that, like how people can be switching from, you know, high-end stuff, and then the next day they're doing, you know, their core job and all that sort of stuff. I think dedication, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, dedication to the cause. Like, they're obviously passionate about both things that they do, you know, which is really cool.
The big tension in that was they really wrestled, I think, on a personal and community level. Like, they were like, is it wrong for us to pursue music? You know, that was the big tension of them. They were are we like going against our church? Are we like betraying our congregation by putting time into this? And like that in itself, I think, just shows the heart of those guys, you know, like, and just how dedicated they are to their parishes. And, you know, as far as I'm aware, they're not like mega churches, you know. They're like ordinary parishes in rural Northern Ireland that they've dedicated their lives to. And
they probably have, you know, 40 or 50 people turn up on a Sunday or something.
I think so, you know.
Maybe. And I think that's really cool. At least that's not very many autographs they've got to sign every week.
Yeah, especially because of the Northern Irish culture. Like, the congregation are probably over it by now. They're like, okay, that's fine. We have Zony Platinum priests, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, whatever. Don't be turning up here in your Mercedes Benz.
I think that's the other bit. Like, don't fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure they, like, in terms of the finances, significant proportions, if not all of it, was all just given away.
I would not be surprised if that was the case. I would imagine that that's, I'm not saying that that's what they should do, but I'm just saying that's, I imagine that that's what they would be doing. Yeah. Really cool.
Awesome. Well, Rob,
I think that was my list, man.
They're
all great.
No,
and anybody listening that I didn't pick your podcast, I'm really sorry.
You're going to get some angry mail from,
I know, right? Yeah.
From like Mary Peters, you know, she's going to send you an angry text message.
I know. But look, you know, and look, anytime you want to get a couple more of the Ulster rugby players on, that's fine. You know, John Andrew, Rob Herring, you know.
You're twisting
my
arm.
Did I say both hookers? You know.
So, well, look, I really enjoyed that kind of trip down memories lane there. And the funny thing is, like, you know, you talk about your list and your favorites. I have, there'll be sometimes I'll put out an episode and like somebody close to me will be like, "Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that week," and I'll be like,
"Oh, really?
Okay, interesting. You know, tell me why." And they'll be like, "Yeah, I didn't connect with the person or whatever." And then literally the next day, like, there'll be an email in my inbox of someone who's like, "Look, mate, I've never talked to you before. I've listened to all 200 of these. And that episode you put out was my all-time favorite." And you sit back from that. You're like, wow, it's so interesting how, like we said, kind of near the start of the conversation, like, you get different people get different things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, out of everything. And that's something that I really enjoy about the podcast is it's just such a wide range of people who I probably wouldn't even like be talking to or be even interested in my normal life, but who, you know, in the context and the format of the show, I have this immense curiosity to try to figure out why they do what they do, you know.
Absolutely. And I think I've said this to you before, that I've listened to them all now, and
wow,
I had to go back. When, you know.
You just logged through the first 20. You're like, "Here we go, bro. All right. At least you got the music, though, eh?"
Yeah, mate, I got the music. Matthew knows I love the music. I love the intro music. But anyway, but my thing is that I won't say that I've agreed with everything that every single guest has said.
Right? Of course.
But that's okay, right? That's okay, because I will say that out of every single podcast, I'm sure that there was something that I've gone, "Oh, yeah, I really like that," you know, or, you know, that's just that person's story, and who am I to say what's right, wrong, whatever, and all that sort of stuff. It's just their story, you know, and it's interesting and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and that's
not to like, not cool. to labor the point too hard, but this is, I don't even know if I should go there, because it's like, okay, here's the next 4 hours of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there is something interesting in that, and I experience this as well. You know, I don't agree with every single person that I have on the show.
Of course you don't. Yeah.
But it is interesting that it gives you an opportunity to bump up against people and opinions that you maybe would shy away from. And I think there's a lot of that going on these days, because we can curate our lives to such an extent, you know, whether it's our social media feeds or whether it's our social circles. Whereas back in the day, if you were growing up in Fermanagh, you know, 100 years ago, that was your village. There was like one church, and you had to go to it, and you had to sit beside that really weird guy that you don't like, but you had just to learn to get on with it and deal with it. And I think there's a certain amount of tolerance and openness that kind of bred, that if we're not careful, while we pride ourselves on being a very progressive and tolerant society, we actually can insulate ourselves perhaps more than ever, you know? And so that's just that's just something to chew on there as we
really
land
to
the plane.
Land the plane. I got to tell you, I've been dying to do this. You know, you ask every guest their favorite ice cream in Northern Ireland.
Oh, mate, do you want a few of the stock questions? Will we?
I have been
them
dying to go. I have been dying to say just a little bit of something else for County Fermanagh. That tickety moo.
Tickety moo. Tell me more. Come on, do the plug. Let's do it.
Do you know, we were staying in one of the hotels just outside of Enniskillen, and we had our dinner and so forth, and had dessert, and the waiter there said, "You've got to have Tickety Moo ice cream." And I said, "Where's this from?" And he said, "It's just from up the road here in Enniskillen." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, right." And just, I'm just a plain vanilla ice cream guy, right? And I had the vanilla ice cream. I'm like, "Oh my God, this is to die for.
Wow.
How do I get a whole lot of this, get it on a plane, and get it to Australia?" And I'm thinking, oh, there's a marketing opportunity here.
I think the more logical solution is, how do you get yourself on the plane and then just live in Fermanagh?
See, now you're talking. Yeah, very cool. Awesome. No, so there you go. I've been dying to say my favorite ice cream. Nobody's ever mentioned it that I can remember.
Yeah, see, the day that it happens, I'm going to lose my mind. You know, it's going to be like, and I hope it's someone like outrageously big who's like, yeah, like no one will have ever heard of this, and I'll be like, Rob Cantle has.
Rob's heard of it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so I'm just waiting now for all of this ice cream to turn up in the mail.
You could be the Australian brand ambassador or something, right?
Maybe. You never know. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, look, so Rob, cool. Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely.
Really,
this is such an honor. It really is.
Really class just to catch up with you. You know, it's always good to touch base.
Yeah.
And I'm always interested in your thoughts as well. So good to hear your favorite episodes. Good to spend some time with you. And thanks for being this experimental conversations sparring partner.
you got to start somewhere. You might as well start with the Aussie. Everybody else is going, I can do better than that.
Well, the mantle has been laid, shall we say.
There it is.
We will take it from there.
There you go.
Awesome. Enjoy the rest of your night. And
I will do. Thank you so much.
Touch base with you soon.
Excellent.
Light it up.